There we go. It's 8 minutes past 8 o'clock, and Modernist Income from PSG Wealth is in the house. Nice to see you again, Modernist.
Good morning. Good morning, listeners. Yeah, thanks.
I'm very interested to see South Africa's latest government revenue and expenditure data surprising us on the upside, suggesting that the country may stay on track to achieve fiscal consolidation this year.
Well, that's good news.
Despite sluggish economic growth. Now, how does that happen? According to this, his name is Kevin Lings. Yeah. He's the Stanlib chief economist. He noted that South Africa's National Treasury data on government revenue and expenditure was better than expected. Good for him. Yes. I don't believe anything that comes out of government at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to speculate where it's coming from, but I mean, if you look at how good the mining sector has been doing, you know, they have a good, big contributor to our GDP and obviously to taxes. So, I mean, if the mining, we've seen this 2 or 3 years ago as well, when the mining companies did exceptionally well. And the tax collections were very good, and actually it was good for individuals because they didn't increase the taxes for individuals due to that.
Now, you know, you're talking tax, and as you know, you guys are our proud sponsors when it comes to our business brief. Here is a story about SARS going after Sasfin Bank for 4.8 billion rand because Sasfin Bank moved for companies that they obviously bank for. 19 of those companies moved 18 billion rand out of the country.
Wow.
They didn't pay tax. So now there's this lawsuit where SARS is saying the bank now might be liable for that tax.
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes from that.
Well, according to Wim Trengrove, who's representing the bank, he says if they rule in favor of SARS, this is going to knock out a lot of banks because you'll be held liable for the tax affairs of all their clients.
Yes, yeah, it'll be quite a precedent that they'll be creating.
It would be a disaster, I think, because well, as you know, there's lots of money held in banking, a lot of it is somewhat not undeployed at this point in time. Yeah. I don't suppose it's all in bad because you guys are often. Well, always, generally, your advice is don't keep your money in the bank. It's not going to do much for you.
Yeah, well, we've seen that, and actually, people are not really at this point in time listening. And we've seen that cash deposits in banks are at an all-time high at 1.7 trillion rand.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so that data has been going for the past year, and we haven't seen much flows into the unit trust space, you know, after that as well. But many of the returns have been really good. I mean, if you look at the last year in South African equities, as well as offshore, and then, of course, there's the big debate, what is AI doing?
Ah, AI is changing the game in so many different ways. You know, it's incredible. People that are resistant to the notion of artificial intelligence being of service to anything fail to understand that that horse has bolted a long time ago. AI is driving huge amounts of their daily lives.
Yes, no, for sure. I mean, I've just came off an investment conference from Cape Town, and we can compare it to 80 years ago when we got electricity. 30 years ago, we got the personal computer. Then we got the internet. The next big thing is AI. And you're going to embrace it or you're going to be left behind. And that will be not just individuals, but mostly for businesses as well. So we're interested in the nuts and the bolts, looking at the back end, which companies are going to be able to benefit from that, and which ones are being able to write algorithms, and who can monetize that to the best of their abilities.
Well, I noticed that there's a large amount of concern in international circles about the AI bubble bursting.
Yes.
But like the dot-com bubble bursting. Well, we wait and see. And I'm sure that those that are speculating probably will find that there are those that make and those that don't. But the bottom line is AI certainly, if it's used properly, and I think that therein lies the significance of it. If it's used as a tool to enhance what good brains are doing, then great, fantastic. You know, I don't think that at this point in time you want to put all your investments based on what AI bots might tell you is a good idea.
Yeah.
Because there are fundamentals that you sometimes need to know, maybe intuitively.
Yes.
And that's where you guys come in. I wanted to ask you another question. There's been a kind of almost proliferation on social media of guys and girls that set themselves up as experts, but particularly those that come across as quite, shall we say, brash, arrogant, almost harsh,
yes,
suggesting that unless you're investing with them or yes, using their methodology, etc., yes, you are going to just be one of those flops in life that doesn't pan out. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen those guys.
Yeah, I think we've seen them since we started, you know, investing itself. It's pretty much like a certain political agenda where you're doing fear mongering. You're creating chaos and you're creating fear amongst people, and then you're kind of consolidating them you're getting them into a corner, and then once you've got hold of them, you're kind of just kind of giving them one specific investment strategy, or one they're just investing towards one specific outcome. I think that's very dangerous because you're not really diversifying. And the other thing is what kind of credentials do these people have? You know, you have to go look at, do they have public indemnity insurance? What kind of, if something goes wrong, what kind of products are they providing? Are those approved products? You know, it's like a medicine that hasn't been tested. You know, are you going to be injecting yourself in a new untested medicine? And that is a lot of times what's happening out there with people that are kind of creating that fear, creating this, I think, social media presence and big boo-hai. But you have to really look at it from an independent point of view, and you have to assess the risk.
You know what is, I think, pretty obvious with all of these guys that are claiming to have the ability to take your hard-earned cash and to return you a very handsome, above-average return.
Yes.
If it was that easy, or if it was that obvious, why wouldn't everyone yes, be doing it? Yeah. I mean, you've got to ask yourself that question. And I presume the old adage that if it seems too good to be true, probably yes, is very appropriate here.
Yeah.
As you say, caveat emptor, buyer beware. Just make sure that whatever you're dealing with, generally speaking, it's been said that you can't really con someone who is operating prudently, responsibly, along given circumstances, if you are desperate
yes,
or if you are greedy, however. Yes. You then are often the victim of this kind of slick operator.
Schemes, yes, yeah. I agree with you. Exactly those two, greed and desperate. We see that a lot in pyramid schemes where people have those two traits, and those are the kind of people would fall for kind of pyramid schemes. And potentially also like I say, one specific investment risky strategy. I mean, you get very astute investment managers that are like hedge funds that invest in a certain specific way. They take a little bit, they take more risk in the market, and they leverage that. So it's quite a complicated and sophisticated way of investing, but it's not for everybody.
How do you guys approach building wealth for your clients?
Well, we start from bottom up kind of scenario. We invest. If you go look at, there's about 1,400 unit trusts in South Africa. So we go and investigate and research which ones we believe are the best. And it's all the biggest names that everybody would trust. The Allan Grays, the Coronations, the Prudentials, the PSG Asset Management. So we go and select, let's say, 10 fund managers which we believe are the best in South Africa, and we combine them together in different risk funds. So we've got from a money market fund to a preserver fund that starts having equity to 20 to 30%. The more conservative funds are for a shorter period of time for what you're looking for to invest. And then you've got pure equity funds as well that invest either in offshore equities into the funds and the AI companies that we spoke about, like Nvidia, Apple, Microsoft. So you've got your peer equity, and depending on the risk and your investment horizon, we advise clients to go into those funds and using those fund managers I just mentioned.
And I listened to a podcast recently where a very intelligent conversation was being held about how the wise investment operators like yourselves are looking at the multiplier effect over huge amounts of money. In other words, if you're investing a couple of billion rand,
yes,
and you're making a tiny, tiny percent on that couple of billion rand, it's a hell of a lot of money.
Yes.
And that's where you've got almost the multiplier effect. If you're working with small amounts of money, that small, tiny percentage return isn't going to be very exciting. And that's where I think the very flash artists that prey on the fact that you're not making money, you're making a tiny percentage. Yes. That's not money.
Yeah.
It is money,
yeah,
when it's on a massive scale, and that's how the big companies operate.
Yeah, and I think that that's why it's very important to start with a goal. I mean, you have to have a specific target return, and what are you trying to beat? If you're young and you're wanting to save towards retirement, you want to get quite into aggressive funds, so you're looking at inflation plus 4 to 6%. For those who don't have a goal yet, for the ones that want to retire, that's kind of what you need to be aiming for. And then once you do retire, you know, your biggest kind of enemy is inflation. So you want to invest in such a way that you still get a regular income and that your capital grows at a rate bigger than inflation. And the only way to do that is to break, you know, you have to have a specific strategy. And that's what we specialize in when it comes to retirement.
I'm hearing more and more how people that are retired now and had planned for the future based on the rules that were back in the day when they were productive, based on what inflation was, based on what the value of the rand was, they looked fairly comfortable in a projected,
yes,
future.
Yeah.
But the reality is that things have changed so dramatically in South Africa that what was going to be a very comfortable future for them as retired folk living on what they had managed to put away is now incredibly difficult and getting more so by the day.
Yes.
Is there any way of future-proofing one against that sort of...
Yeah, so outcome? I think, and that's getting back to the financial plan. You have to, if you actually do retire at age 65, we see that a lot of clients got their kind of attitude where you only have to preserve your capital, and they tend to be overly conservative when they invest. Where if you're in reality, if you're 65, your capital has to last you another 20 to 25 years. We're planning for our clients to at least age 90.
Really?
And yes.
Is that the norm?
Yes. So, I mean, if with modern medicine being developed, you know, more of us are going to be living longer, and that the reality is that you're going to need more capital, and you're going to need to deploy strategies that make your capital last longer than you live, and that's what we try and achieve for our clients.
So it's pretty much, I would imagine, mandatory now, folks. If you are not an expert in this particular field, it would pay you handsomely, I think, to consult an expert in this field. Like anything, if you're not an expert in the legal profession, you wouldn't necessarily engage in any kind of legal matter without engaging a professional. The same with your accounting. And therefore, you have the advantage in this area of talking to experts in precisely what we're discussing. In PSG at the moment, Marnus, how many practitioners fall under that umbrella in Bolito?
We're currently 6 wealth managers, and we've got Jackie who's on the short term, and then we've got Grant doing estates and wills. So yeah, we've been, I think we're 9 years been going, and next year will be our 10th year. So yeah, it's been Bolito has been treating us well, and hopefully we look after Bolito and our clients as well. So yeah, we're about 6-7 practitioners and about 8 support staff.
Well, there you go. You see, the test of time and the fact that the company continues to deliver above expectation, good operators, very, very good professional advice available through PSG Wealth and Insure. We've had a great association over the years on 88 FM, and we look forward to continuing that. Hopefully you can see me through my retirement.
There'll be a privilege.
So if you're looking for advice, if you're looking for when it comes to your wealth strategy, you'll be well served by contacting Marnus or any of his colleagues at PSG Wealth and Insure Belita. Just for those that are wondering how they would get hold of you, what would be the best approach?
They can give us a call at 0860-888810 or just reach out on our Facebook page, and there is our office email, and they can contact and ask to speak to me.
Peace of mind, you see. That gives you the ability to sleep at night. How yes. Nice. My very special guest, Marnus Senka from PSG Wealth and Insure. This will be up as a podcast. So if you were looking for that information, you couldn't write it down, don't worry. You can catch up on demand on your favorite radio station from Belita.